Hey everybody, welcome to your Friday, November 22nd Jumpcast, the only manga podcast to take a full-page ad in the New York Times. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
Hey.
It's a really nice-looking ad.
So we should probably explain that one a little bit.
Manga-relevant this week.
Yes, there's a giant One Piece ad in the New York Times.
I think it was Thursday's issue? One second. It was, I'll find it, but you can keep talking.
It is thanking people for One Piece hitting 300 million volumes worldwide.
Yes, yeah, so this was the end of a series of ones. Like, so every prefecture in Japan, they had, has a main newspaper or something like that, and they had been putting out ads in every one of them thanking people, and it was kind of building up, I guess, to the New York Times for some reason. But this one is the only one that looks like it's completely original art or something like that. The other one was just kind of doodles that are pasted onto something from that prefecture or something like that. Although I have to say, there is one that is a cutout of the thing where when he's holding the Jolly Roger on Drum Island, you know, after it got blown up, it has Luffy standing on top of a tower doing that with the Japanese flag.
Have any of, like, the Sunny Go funeral in front of something? Just like the or holding the hands up.
Now I kind of wanted one of like Soga King shooting the American flag. Like, I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
Okay, and it was yesterday's paper. So if you can find a Thursday copy of the New York Times, there's some pretty nice artwork in there.
Yeah, it says One Piece X America.
It says, "Hey world, this is the manga." Yeah, I thought the One Piece Cross USA might have been like a fighting game announcement at first.
One Piece X Bioshock Infinite.
But yeah, it has... I think that this was partly a promotional thing by Viz, because Viz is not prominently featured, but you can... I mean, they're definitely...
They're on there, yeah. And so is Shonen Jump.
They probably at least arranged it, if not helped pay. But yeah, it's kind of cool, but also I kind of don't think anyone... realizes what that is, so...
I bet there's a number of people looked at it and go, like, is that Goku? Well, whatever.
New Pokemon, huh?
Bastard.
Been a while.
Something like that. So yeah. I guess we should probably also correct ourselves. Naruto is not taking a long break. We kind of weren't paying attention to what issues they were.
Meant.
So, like, next week is issue one for the new year.
One of these years, we're going to remember that issue one does not start in January.
It was like a thing where I was thinking, like, is this right? I was like, yeah, it has to be. Why would they say new year if it wasn't actually the new year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, turns out 'cause they're jump. You know, similarly, One Piece is off next week, but the way that they put it makes it sound like, yeah, it's not coming back till the second week of January. No, it's just off for 1 week.
So 2 weeks of World Trigger.
Well, what I was thinking was maybe we could just do this as a rotating thing and talk about some other series every time somebody's off or something like that, because I'd be interested in talking about Food Wars or Shokugeki no Soma at some point, too.
Yeah,
just randomly pick one.
Either
each
of those two manga sound good.
I'm not against the idea, it just means more reading. If I were keeping up with Shokugeki no Soma, it would be easier.
We could, like, just read, like, the first chapter of random things.
We could do that, too.
The first chapter of Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
And review that.
Yeah. He catches that fish. It's awesome.
It's been forever since I've read that.
Might be the second issue.
So we've gotten some nominations for the Manga of the Year Award yet, which I'd probably at some point need to actually sit down and schedule.
Nah.
But we need more. So give us more.
Yeah, that's right. This I guess the period that it's going to be covered will be through this week. Or is it through last week?
I think we go calendar year, don't we?
Well, no. We decided last year just to keep it easier to do it for a year as far as Shonen Jump is concerned.
Wow.
So, yeah, so this is the last week, so it's through this week.
So, okay.
This is going to be great, because by the time we're going to be discussing it, like, stuff will have gone down in Beelzebub and One Piece, and...
And we won't be able to talk about it. That happened last year, too. I don't remember which one. I think it was Bleach.
Well, 90% of our categories were about Bleach, so...
I really doubt it was Bleach that had something really good happen that we can talk about.
All right. Are we done with house cleaning stuff?
Yeah, I think that's it.
we're talking about World Trigger.
Right? Yeah.
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 So let's do broad strokes on this one and just cover from where we left off.
Okay, so last time it was in the middle of that fight.
Yeah, it was right before he let loose Fujin. So when he cut someone's head off, basically.
Yeah. And Fujin ended up being like a nine tails laser sword thing where he was able to lay them down as traps.
And it could bounce around walls.
Which
easily.
Worked well with his foresight ability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really creative. I'm trying to think if there's any other instance of something that is like implemented the same way that he has, but I can't think of that in any other medium, actually.
I mean, it's pretty much in line with the manga plan scenarios. Like, it's not particularly elaborate. I don't think it's particularly out of the realm of shonen manga.
Oh, well, I'm not saying that it's completely absurd, just saying that that's, you know, not. I'm kind of surprised that something like that, where it's, you know, a multi-use sword which you can, I don't know, lay down the stuff as traps, is not something I can think of that I've seen before. I don't know.
So this fight kind of, like, showed me what I don't like about World Trigger, is that it gets really, really cavalier with tossing around names.
Yeah, they introduce way too many people way too fast.
And a lot of them look very similar.
There's like four guys that are like
black hair,
short hair. Like, one kinda has bags under his eyes, the other doesn't. Like,
Yeah, there's a lot of people that I'm not caring enough to pay attention to at this point.
Yeah, because like four teams show up of like five people each all at once.
It'll be like that thing where I'll be like, I have no idea who they're talking about. Then like five or six chapters later, I'll be like, oh, so that was the Aramashia group.
Yeah, I'm remembering like the groups, but...
Not the names?
I know Jin. I'm down with my boy Jin.
I've got the main cast down.
Yeah, well, Jin, Kuga,
what's his name?
Osamu.
Osamu, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's awesome.
Mika, yeah. Or is it Mika?
That sounds right.
Yeah. I know that the one bad guy, or like the person that they don't like, is Shuji, I think it is.
Is that one of the many black-haired people?
He is one of the many black-haired people.
They refer to him as Miwa quite more often.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I think he has the Miwa squad.
Isn't Miwa?
Okay, yeah. Anyway, so once that battle finished, what ended up happening was that Jin basically gave up his Black Trigger to allow Yuma to be accepted in.
Which is, like, A, it's a smart plan. B, it's a good way of keeping this manga balanced.
Yeah.
Because if, like, they're way more powerful than every other branch, because they have multiple Black Triggers, then it becomes a lot less interesting.
It really, honestly, in some ways, is a lot more realistic than corporations are actually typically portrayed, where, you know, different branches have their own interests and are trying to strive to, you know, balance against one another, even within a company that ostensibly has the same goal.
Yeah.
The part I liked about it is it brought Jin back down to, you know, the regular cast.
Yeah.
He wasn't like the super strong mentor that was obviously going to die at some point, because you can't have a character be that strong.
Like, he could have just gone into the demon world with them, or the neighborhood, as they go to call it eventually.
The neighborhood.
Which, yes.
Yeah, that's...
And just save everybody and kill everything easily.
Can we just call it the neighborhood from here on out?
No. Like, neighborhood I kind of appreciate out of how dumb it is. Like, it fits it so perfectly, but it's still very stupid.
Yeah, well, honestly, I guess it's just one of those things that's grown on me because it gets used so much. The whole neighbor thing doesn't bother me as much as it did when I read the first chapter. I still think it's kind of a silly name, but I don't know. Just, it's working.
Just wait till they go there and find a couple of guys who are up to no good.
And then the big twist is actually Osamu and Yuma, who are the guys who are up to no good.
They're making trouble in the neighborhood.
Yes. I got the reference, yes.
So I like that the Jin's big plan was the reason he even bothered to, you know, wipe them out with his Black Trigger was so that he could prove to the other branches how strong it was, so they'd be really tempted to take the deal.
Yeah, leverage.
Like, if he'd read it the day before, they wouldn't think, like, one luck trigger for another is really that good a deal. But it allowed Yuma to very quickly get into the enlistment program.
Which is, as we've been referring to it whenever we talked about it, the Chunin exams of this, basically.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's oddly set up like a video game for a peacekeeping organization. There's points.
I mean, the whole thing is set up like a video game.
Oh, yeah. We kind of went... We mentioned it, like, I think the last time we talked about it, but the way the weapons are laid out are basically, like, I don't know, choose your class, allocate your points.
Yeah. Here's your energy bar.
And this is where you're going to, you know, specialize in.
I feel like raising my hand and going, like, why don't you just make everyone super strong, and then don't have to worry about aliens?
No, they have to, there has to be bureaucracy.
Yeah, for the, they can't have trash raising in the ranks, so they have to keep
Well, I don't think that it's not necessarily that. It's probably that, you know, when you're going into, they need to demonstrate a certain aptitude for combat before they actually get put into a place where they would be fighting against the aliens.
Yeah, I guess they don't want, yeah, people
die. Do they ever explain why everyone has to be teenagers?
Because it's a manga?
No.
Like, okay.
I know that in, you know, Evangelion and stuff like that, they definitely make a point behind, okay, and it has to be kids who pilot the thing. And no, I don't think that there's really been any establishment as to why.
They could do something about, like, only the young bodies can handle the stress of the Treon or something like that.
It just so strange because they have, like, the old guard as the board, and then just nobody between them and 19 years old.
Yeah, it's like 50-year-olds and 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, like, Jin and them were in their 20s, weren't they?
I
think
he's,
like, 19 at most.
And he's, like, the old,
yeah,
you know, good old boy.
He refers to himself as the old generation. That he's looking out for the new one.
And
he was, like, 15, so that's, like, a 4-year gap.
Well, it's manga.
So,
you know,
we're talking generations like Naruto here, right?
Yeah.
It's,
well, I mean Asuma was the only one who referred
you're right
to them.
You're right. Jin is 19, so.
Well, yeah. Well, keep in mind, in other manga, people completely forget things that happened 6 years ago. So.
True.
Like, the fact that he's, like, around to tell the tale of what happened 6 years ago.
Makes him a grizzled old veteran because of that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else died.
He's just going
to
retire.
That's what it's going to be. This is going to turn, like, super dark, and it's going to turn out every single person that they'd ever sent over to the other side, except for, like, these two guys had died.
So Yuma basically aces all his tests.
Yeah.
In very entertaining manner.
Yeah, what was the first guy's time? He got, like...
5 seconds.
No, but, like, the show-off guy, the copy.
Oh, 58 seconds.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, God, it's like a new record. And then
under a minute, yeah.
Yuma does it in, like, 5 seconds just with one slash.
And then the second time was less than a second.
Yeah, because the first time he wasn't really even trying. He didn't know.
And they thought that they thought it was a glitch or something, you know, obviously went wrong in the testing thing if he was able to do that, so.
And then Sheikah shoots one bullet and goes all the way through the wall of a fortress deep underground.
They were trying to demonstrate that some of these guns were, like, unusable by people with low Treon energy. And
yeah.
Of course, she has infinite wells of it, and
yeah. If you go back and look at, like, some of the early artwork and whatnot, there's a page which has basically the three main characters and then Jin all holding cubes of varying sizes, basically, which I think is supposed to symbolize their Treon. So
yeah.
But my favorite thing about that was the entire, like, she shows up and she asks whether they would have to move after shooting or not, and all the other students think that she's crazy, and the instructor liked it. It's attention to detail like that. That,
well, yeah, because a sniper wouldn't just stay in one spot.
Yeah.
You know, like, popular culture seems to dictate.
I don't know. That's been my Battlefield strategy, and it worked out great that one shot, then terrible every time after that.
Yeah, but you quit after that game, so you have, like,
yeah,
100% kill-death ratio. You don't want to...
The ultimate runaway. So Osamu, who was also there despite not actually taking the exam, since
yeah,
he was bumped up to a B rank.
He's a chunin.
Yeah, we get to find out that, you know, he failed his that first thing,
yeah,
where it was a big deal for the guy to finish in under a minute. He wasn't able to kill it in, what was it, 10 minutes, I think?
The time limit, I think, was 10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's a giant monster. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
That they're sending kids to fight.
But it kind of boggles the mind how he got in the first place. They really needed people, apparently.
I think it's persistence, because you just need the points, and he probably just, like, did the easy shit over and over again until he got in.
Yeah. So he gets challenged by one of the other spiky-haired guys.
First spiky-haired black guy, right?
Like, I guess so.
The main one?
What, was it Miwa?
No, it wasn't Miwa.
No.
It was someone. He was an A-rank, and he was in that battle.
That's right. Okay, he was the one who was up against Jin, specifically, right?
No. Oh, yeah. He fought Jin later.
Yeah.
After other guy. See, this is the problem. Like, I don't know
too
enough of these
people.
Names. Yeah, yeah, there's two. They really, like, threw everybody at you at once.
I'm sure the gaps will be filled in over time.
Yeah. I think this guy is when they called in, like, those three teams that were back from the neighborhood. And, like, he was the first one they showed. I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, he's a loyalist to the HQ and believes all neighbors are evil.
Yeah.
So he challenges Osamu to a fight after he realizes that Osamu's teacher is Guy.
Yeah, person Guy.
He's apparently a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it was, what was it, Kazuma?
Yeah,
it could have been.
It's the hot guy that, what's her name?
Konami?
Aoi? No, the black-haired girl.
Yeah, it's Soya Kazuma is the name of the guy. So.
Terrible at this, okay.
Yeah.
They're
and he's
really
21.
Japanese. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
He's 21.
So he's the oldest non-board member.
He's the one that's already retired and is just, like, training the newbies now.
He's a grizzled veteran.
I just sent you guys a wiki page that'll be really useful for this conversation.
Hey, oh, good picture.
Okay, so once Kazuma found out that Osamu was Karasuma's student, he challenged Osamu to a fight and kicked Osamu's ass 20 times.
Yeah.
And then
this was the one that we had discussed in a previous chapter where basically he came back, Osamu challenged him one more time and was able to tie him, was really creative in the way he did so.
Yeah, that kind of reminded me of old Naruto.
This is the one that was so good that, like, we couldn't help but bring it up even though we weren't talking about it that week.
Yeah.
And that was also the thing that, and this is going to tie back into discussing this week's chapter, but it's really neat to have a series where the main character is not the powerful one. He's the thinker.
He fights.
He's the strategist.
Smarter, not harder.
I don't know that he's... Well, he's the one the manga focuses on, but I don't think he's necessarily the protagonist, really.
Is he the one the manga focuses on? Because that sure seems
like
it.
He's the first character, which is usually the indication in these things.
Yeah, but
totally,
but
Kuga, that's...
If you removed him from the story at this point, nothing would change.
I don't know, it would change pretty significantly, because Yuma would not have, you know, joined them and everything.
I mean,
like
at
that,
this point, like, he's not moving the story forward anymore.
He's Iruka. Like, he was the vessel that got us the main character.
Yeah. And also, looking at this character wiki, we didn't talk about Amo, who is the mysterious figure that works at HQ that is apparently so frightening to see fight that they don't want him out there.
How old is he, like, 14?
They don't say.
Yeah.
But
He's the other S rank.
Yeah, I'm going to throw out now that he's probably a neighbor, and just nobody knows.
Yeah.
That seems very possible.
Because they typically say that he looks like a monster when he fights.
Yeah, and he also has a black trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the other S rank, besides Jin.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was in that attacking force for that attacked Yuma's home.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, the one that kills is...
Yeah. Because, I mean, if they set someone up like that, he's clearly going to fight Yuma at some point.
Yeah, that seems entirely plausible.
So that brings us to this chapter, where Osamu was regretting the fact that nobody has asked him yet how many times he lost to Kazuma.
Well, yeah. It's the way that rumors work. He tied once after losing 24 times. And
but he tied once, and that's all people are repeating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the last one that he tied on, which made all the difference, right?
So some other kid is looking for Osamu and challenges him to a fight.
Some other suspicious-looking kid.
that he's kind of amazed that or he challenges him to fight once Osamu mentions that Jin is his teacher or his senior.
Yeah. He's part of that group.
He knows Jin. Yeah, his interest is piqued at the word Jin. Also, he seems to have the same color hair, so yeah. I'm just gonna.
And this is a real rank war at this point.
Yeah.
So this is for points.
Not just a mock battle.
It's for points. That reminds me, speaking of points, like, I'm surprised Yuma, like, barely got shit for beating that monster in, like, 5 seconds. You know, like, he's barely getting any points. You'd think that would have rocketed him right into B rank status.
Well, I guess they want people just
Yeah, it's probably just the beating the monster, like, each monster is worth a specific, each neighbor is worth a specific number of points.
Just a binary, did you beat it? Yes, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of weird rules to these points.
I know, it's so stupid.
Like, somebody at Border really wanted to be a game designer.
They can bet points, they can only fight people level, and the points diminish, the more they're, yeah.
Neighbor destroyed his game studio, so now he's working at Border.
So anyway, Yuma and Kazuma have a little run-in where they discuss his past a little bit. But,
that's not Kazuma.
It's not Kazuma.
That's Miwa.
It's the other one.
Huh?
That's Miwa.
Yeah, he's got the bags.
Yeah, he's coming. Well, no. Kazuma is the one who comes down there and is in this conversation. Or wait, oh, no, I see. Never mind. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
See? That's Yonia.
Yes.
Even with
the wiki, yes.
Not even just the wiki. At the beginning of the chapter, there's like a thing showing who the characters are.
Yeah.
So yeah, they talk a little bit, and Yuma says, hey, didn't the neighbor kill your mother? We could probably actually track that neighbor down.
Sister. Yeah, find out which country he's from, you know, and I can help you get revenge.
It was Jin's mother that was killed by a neighbor.
Yeah.
And Miwa seems pretty pissed at, like, wanting at the help from a neighbor.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, good point, there are different countries. It's not all neighbors that are evil.
So
all humans are evil.
Yes.
They go to the training arena and see a lot of spectators and notice that Shun Mordekawa, or Midori Kawa, is kicking Osamu's ass.
Yeah.
Yep. Just 10-0.
Yep. Osamu couldn't get, like, land a kick or a single hit on him, and he couldn't even read him.
Yeah, he can't figure out his fighting style like he could with, who's it? Kazama, yes.
Yes.
Thanks.
So,
so many names.
Yuma challenges him to a fight.
Yeah. And also, you know, implies that he had attracted all of the attention to make a spectacle of his beating up Osamu. Yeah.
Like, he knew he was going to win easily, but he wanted to, like, humiliate him.
Yeah.
So then,
Yuma bets all of his points, all the ones he's working to get so far.
All 1,500, not even halfway.
And Midori Kawa says, like, he wants to know what he'll have to lose if he loses the fight. And Yuma says that if he loses, then he has to treat Osamu with respect. So he's fighting for his senior officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of like an oh shit moment, because that's, you know, he's treating him kind of like trash.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, like, Osamu is a character at this point, but he doesn't feel like
he's
really involved this manga.
You know he's going to have that moment at some point.
Yeah, he's going to have the I'm not holding anyone back anymore moment.
Yeah, remember Usopp? Like, he was a joke until he challenged Luffy to a fight.
Yeah.
And then he became slightly less of a joke.
And I'm not sure if they thought that last thing was that moment or not.
I don't think it's happening.
Oh,
yet.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
It's going to be a while, like, until they're at fighting something, and then he figures out how to beat it or something like that.
Yeah, it's going to be something like they're all pinned down and is going to be killing all of them, and then he comes up with a strategy for how to defeat it.
It's just, I'm picturing this whole situation like, if people were just beating Yamcha up and Goku came down, it's like, hey, don't pick on him just because he's weak and terrible.
Hey, you leave my pet alone. Go get your own.
Even Puar's laughing at him.
I found him in the desert. He's mine.
Yeah, World Jigger's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm reading it,
definitely still been enjoying this quite a bit.
Even though we just talked about the entirety of the plot, you should still go read it.
Yeah.
Skip over quite a bit.
Also,
yeah, no, we did not, and I mean, we didn't even talk about the person, you know, grafting a pick to their leg, scaling an entire building, and kicking a person's head in half, you know?
Yeah, that was kind of awesome. I do like what they can do with gore, since it's not actually real.
Yeah, when they just, like, cut a person's head in half, and you see, like, part of their skull and brain.
And they're just kind of like, eh.
It's like, oh, and then it disappears, so no blood, no big deal.
I love when someone gets decapitated and then it cuts back to, like, HQ or something. They're just like, dang, and they walk away.
Like, I understand why they're doing what they're doing, but at the same time, it kind of feels like there's less stake to it.
It feels like Gaunt's Light. Like, you know, they're going for that same kind of, like, people can die at any moment, but we can't actually have people die at any moment, so...
Yeah.
We want our cake.
Well, I mean, you know, once they're killed once, then if they're killed a second time, but,
that's gonna happen at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's gonna be like, you know, we don't have time to retreat and get more bodies. We have to fight them with our real bodies.
Yeah.
See, they're doing a good job of, like, having good fights, but keeping the stakes in a way that they can raise them when they need to.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, even as solid as the series has done, there's a lot of room for growth and a lot of potential still in it.
It's just they need to hold back a little bit and stay with the characters you have.
Yeah, like, there is strength in building the cast, but don't do too much of it too fast.
Only this was a transition into Bleach. So, so perfect.
Speaking of small, tight casts.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Beelzebub. It's
so,
in L.A.
Yeah, and it starts off with L.A., and apparently Beelzebub's mom already knows that the factory has been destroyed, and that the people who destroyed it are on their way here.
So yeah. I'm really wondering what the deal is with Beelze's mom right now.
Well, I'm sure we're going to find out in a week, but...
Well, yeah. Yes, but you know.
And cover picture is Hilda trying to figure out what to wear.
Well, I mean, to actually discuss it this week, she's like, appears to be at the top of a tower with a secretary. So,
yeah,
like, the implication seems to be maybe she's in charge of the Solomon Company.
Yeah, she is significantly involved, at any rate.
She's not a hostage. She's calling at least some shots.
Yeah. So I want to get back to Weird Leg Hilda.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, man, Hilda has weird legs.
Haven't we, like, had the weird leg discussion before?
Yeah, more than once. He's not good at drawing Hilda's legs.
You just should stop at the skirt.
You just kind of, you know, taper off.
He focuses his attention elsewhere in her character design.
Really? We never noticed.
Yeah, her skirt, it's really hard to draw. You gotta...
Yeah.
So, everyone's in the
truck. So anyway, Mr. Fuck is into L.A.
Yep.
And they talk about how it's the second largest city in America. And what's his name? Corey?
Yeah.
Is running alongside his motorcycle.
And then the mysterious stranger pulls up alongside him with a shotgun and shoots him in the face. Like,
yes.
Out of nowhere. It was amazing.
It basically immediately becomes a Michael Bay movie the second they hit LA City lines.
Like, yeah, it's page 3 of the manga.
It's like, if you look at the background of that page, you can see the city limits of LA, and that's when they entered, and that's when the guns start.
Yep. This made me think that maybe, like, the time he took off to research was not actually going to America, it was just watching American movies.
Like, all the Bat Boys movies and Terminator and...
Yeah. So, Corey goes flying off with a hole in his head.
So, yeah,
and Corey gets, you know, shot, hit by the truck.
And then his motorcycle explodes on him.
Yeah, but he's okay.
It's basically I see their parachutes, they're okay moment.
Yes, the demon protected him.
But he had a hole in his head. We saw it. I like to think that Hilda's just saying
gunshots.
That. I like to think that Hilda's just saying that so they don't worry. It's like, nah, he's fine. Meanwhile, like, charred corpse in the wreckage.
So Oga uses a Zebul blast from the cab of the truck.
Right.
You know,
and
breaks the windshield.
since the truck is moving forward.
And
it's
mysterious...
the road, and yeah.
Mysterious stranger just kind of lightly steps aside and dodges it.
And then a Michael Bay thing happens.
The truck flips over.
Yeah.
Goes into the hole and then explodes.
There's a term for this, isn't there? Like jackknifing?
Michael Bay thing. No, jackknifing is like sideways.
Yeah.
All horizontal. This is like a vertical flip. The truck basically pirouettes into an explosion.
So the mysterious stranger asked Oga if he enjoyed his little vacation as he's emerging from the explosion with Michael and Furuichi.
Yeah. With Beale still holding on.
In a very badass looking scene.
Yeah. A very American.
Well, of course, cool guys walk away from explosions without looking at them.
So the mysterious stranger points out that isn't it weird that he's all the way in LA when he hasn't even fought Fuji yet? The pacing's really weird here.
Yeah, you're ruining the story, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah.
And Oga doesn't care about the story.
He just wants to
go to Beals' mom right now.
Yeah, a Zebub crest appears over the city, so he's retained that power.
And Mr. Shaden looks a little creeped out, but he seems to have a trap ready. He's telling Oga to take one more step.
Well, he's saying to himself that there's one more step.
Yeah, he's like,
is that it?
Oga progressed this much after fighting Takamiya. There's one more step that's needed.
Oh, I assumed he was like, you know, trying to lure Oga into something.
No, I think there's a plan that they're preparing Oga for somehow. I think
it makes sense. So he offers to take just Oga and Beals to Madame Iris.
He'll only take two people, which I thought it was nice that he counts Beals above as a person. Very respectful of him.
I don't know. He's not really a person. He's a demon, so.
Well, he has feelings.
So Hilda agrees and tells Beals to hug his mother for her.
Yeah. Like, she came all the way here and just stands by and lets them go.
And then she gives Oga something that we don't see, but makes sure to give it to Iris.
So anyway, we find out a little bit about, you know, Solomon Company as they're walking into it, that they develop and mass-produce anti-demon weapons.
Yeah.
And that's why they named themselves Solomon Company, because Solomon was the first person to trap a demon.
Yeah, Beelzebub the first, to be clear.
Yeah.
To be exact, rather.
And Oga just kind of doesn't care. And he's telling Beale to not worry that nothing's going to change. He's still his father.
And if the mother's a fool, then flick some boogers on her.
Yeah. It's actually kind of a sweet scene.
Yeah. It's sweet for Oga.
And then the issue ends with Oga stepping out of the elevator and Beale's mother is just right there and thanks them both.
Yeah. Thanks them for coming.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Beals' mom is human. I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, I think she's human and the head of the Solomon Company.
Yeah, I agree with those things. Good talk.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Why should we all must be wrong?
I just
Have
love
we ever agreed on anything with Beelzebub before?
Have we ever been right? Wait, except me with Eric. God, I love that Corey just gets, like, shot in the head at the start of the next page.
It's so amazing.
There's no build-up to that at all.
Well, they just had to get rid of the character, so, you know.
I'm telling you, Bad Boys, shit just got real.
Like, I really do think he just watched American movies and based something off that. Yeah, Iris is clearly high up in the Solomon Company, if not actually running it.
So, do you think that we're going to come to the conclusion that the Solomon Company is actually evil?
I don't know.
Have they done anything evil, really?
They've given demons to the other people who are attacking Oga.
Yeah, and if...
That's just, like, we say that's evil because Oga's the protagonist.
Yeah, if,
Besides capturing women, I guess. But...
Like, what the mysterious stranger was saying about the one more step makes me think that it's the whole thing, like, sending strong opponents to make Oga stronger kind of thing. Like, doing something in service to help him.
Well, I was wondering if it was something where they wanted to grow Beals' power enough before they captured him, or something like that.
I mean, they were trying to capture him.
Because I guess it is tied to Oga, isn't it? Because the stronger Oga gets, the older Beelzebub gets. I guess the only evil, like, actual evil thing anyone associated with the Solomon Company has done that we've seen is Takamiya killing Furuichi. Like, that was kind of evil.
Well, I mean, also, they kidnapped a bunch of women.
Yeah. Remember back at the factory?
It's America. That happens.
That happens.
Just like shotguns on the streets of LA. Like, nobody really questions that too much.
She's not N's mother, right? Just Beals?
Yeah. There's different mothers, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
I think Beelzebub's the only one that's... Well, did they say he's half-human?
No, they never
actually say. We have no knowledge about that.
Okay. Well, I think there's still, like, different mothers, because they always specifically say Lord Beale's mother.
Yeah, and if you recall, what's it called, when we were talking about this before, Iris was listed as a demon on the wiki, but...
I think they made that up.
Yeah, couldn't find any information about whether she is or not.
I don't remember her being referenced at all until that painting arc.
Well, I think that there was some stuff in passing, but where, you know, Hilda talked about, you know, caring for her and that sort of stuff.
The wiki that is not to be trusted lists Iris as N's mother, too.
So I feel like I know they've said half-brother before.
Yeah. I really thought that, too, so.
I feel like that's the case, also.
So what do you think?
Oh, gee. A reason to go back and reread such a great manga. What a shame.
So what do you think the thing Hilda gave Oga is?
A letter. The Demon King's a big softie. Baby, sorry I hurt you.
Please come back.
Yeah.
I put you in that wheelchair.
All right.
Yeah. Let's go on to Bleach, which was, again, not offensive.
Yeah.
Actually pretty decent. And with a couple of color
pages. A little
pages.
Slow.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah.
Kind of drawn this out a little bit more than it needs to be, but whatever.
I mean, it has to be over now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, so we'll get to it, but basically, Hot Nazi has literally imploded.
Well, don't we want to cover the, you know, weird poetry on the color page first?
Not really.
Sleep is like the moon. It can seem like an arm's length away, while simultaneously feeling like it's an eternity away.
Don't sleep till you sleep.
Your lucky numbers are 7, 14, 18, 25, 34.
With everyone in, like, pods or coffins.
Like, really nice-looking coffins with upside-down
crosses. Yeah, coffins
with,
you know, upside-down crosses on them.
Yeah.
Not creepy at all.
Renji is dressed like a PUA. Pickup artist.
So all of Hot Nazi's explosions came back inside of her and then exploded.
Yes. So, you know, she's blown up, falling down.
Yeah, she blew up real good.
Yeah. And Kimimora goes to attack once more and wants to go on to attack Juha Bak, but
yeah,
he's heading to his castle. Yeah.
But he appears to be dying.
Which is he actually dying, or is he just turning back into the mortal form?
I'm not sure. Like,
I took it as he's transforming into a full wolf.
Look, I'm going to be honest. I don't understand any of this chapter.
Yeah, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the wolf. Anyway, he talks about how there's more that he wants to get done, and he wants to avenge Yamamoto. And then
he's becoming consumed by his revenge, and that turns him into a straight-up wolf.
Well,
the entire thing is his grandfather lamenting and talking over while this is happening.
Is he lamenting it, though? Because at some point
he's not lamenting. He's proud of him now.
Because he's becoming straight wolf.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing is, like, you remove the heart and you rubber band to human, but then, like, the blowback from that is you just become straight wolf. Like, you swing one way and then you swing back the other.
So eventually his vice captain comes and, like, picks him up and saves him from giving himself completely to revenge by saying, hey, we should go get revenge.
Well, yeah. I thought that it was he gave himself completely to revenge, which is why he became human for a period of time, and then basically that kind of burnt it out of him, so now he is fully a wolf.
Well, he doesn't really talk, so he might just be a wolf now.
Yeah, I don't think he can talk anymore.
He seems like he's just a regular-ass wolf. Also, I'm glad that they do point out the irony of him going through all this to seek revenge when, like, he was all about no revenge to Tosin.
Yeah.
And like how pointless revenge is.
Is it really pointing out the irony if it just, it doesn't, I mean, I guess it is pointing out the irony. It just, it doesn't make it less dumb.
Yeah. That's not me.
It's like, you're a huge hypocrite. Oh, well.
He learned like, the true meaning of revenge.
So.
And his heart grew 3 sizes that day.
I bet you thought we were done with Hot Nazi.
Nope.
Turns out that she's really pissed off that she got taken out first, which she didn't. Because Kang Du did, unless he didn't.
No, he's totally fine, remember? Like, it explodes in the Quincy Cross.
I mean, but by that logic, she's totally fine, too.
Yeah, I like the fact that apparently Hot Nazi's name the entire time was Bambi. You'd think we would have remembered that.
It's Bambina. I've said it many...
Okay.
So the other Hot Nazis surround her and say that they'll take care of her, and she freaks out.
So I'm assuming that they're just drawing and quartering her and then eating the pieces or something like that to become stronger, because that's what Quincy's do, right?
Yeah.
I assume they just absorb her in some way.
I don't know. I'm going to assume cannibalism.
I think they're all probably, like...
the same person.
Yeah, like parts five of one thing.
Yeah. Like the one girl, Quincy, that split herself into five.
Yeah. There's more diversity in here.
Do you think this is going to be, like, a wrath, sloth, envy thing? Like,
one is eating.
Yeah.
I don't think so. There's not
one
seven.
Has major cleavage.
Right? There's only five.
Still have time for more women to show up.
What was the other thing we were reading recently that did the seven sins, but it was like really rote?
Beelzebub?
Oh, yeah.
The thing we were just talking about.
Yeah. I've seen it in so much stuff recently that I can't even keep a track of it all together. So anyway, Hot Nazis, apparently something's happening to her.
Yes.
And also Renji and Rukia are raining down.
I don't feel they needed
plummeting
to,
from the sky.
I don't feel they needed to say Renji. Like, it was pretty obvious it was Rukia.
Yeah.
With like, the funky masks.
Yeah. Like, apparently everyone needs to change clothes before they come down.
Of course, you need new style. There has to be an excuse to make some new, like, you know, memorabilia for people to buy.
I mean, one of the guardians of the Soul King is a fashion designer, so they gotta get, like, their work somehow.
So I guess they're ahead of Ichigo.
Yeah.
Well, because Ichigo's slow.
Yeah.
Well, he had to rebuild his Bankai.
Yeah, so where's Byakuya, huh? We need him to come down so we can die.
He died halfway down there.
you just know that there will be some moment where Ruki is in danger and he will pop in to save her.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That's what he does.
He'll fall out in his Arabian cloak.
See, okay, so I assume the reason that they couldn't give Ichigo a ride down was that they gave Renji and Rukia a ride down already.
Oh, there's just no ride down, apparently.
Yeah, I guess. But there was a ride down because they took it down.
Well, they just used it that once when they took it down, but, you know. Or wait, they took it back up, didn't they?
Yep.
Dude, those rides aren't free.
Oh, wait, no.
Do you think they're made of, like, magic spirit level rides?
Yes.
These rides aren't free. You need a ticket. We've seen them.
That's true. They gave all their tickets to those kids.
Yep.
Sorry, I don't make the rules. The Soul King, you know, he says it's 8 tickets. It's 8 tickets. I can't take money. No, I'm sorry.
But yeah, this was not a bad chapter, and I guess Kimimura's gone.
I'm looking forward to next week's chapter.
It depends on how they handle it.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it's gonna jump. I'm going to guess back to Hitsugaya.
Yeah, Kang Du.
It would be smarter than to just go to a different fight.
Well, because at this point...
Oh, wait, Soi Fong, they haven't
We still have Soi Fong and Hitsugaya, and we have 2 people falling out of the sky. So, I think that
maybe
might be...
Maybe Renji lands at one, and Ruki lands at another.
That's entirely possible, but I'm really hoping that it's just going to be, like, we'll cut to one, and Kenpachi just finished it up, and then he's running off to take out the other one, too.
Well, they did that already. They did that when Juhabak first invaded.
You guys know who's totally going to save, Hitsugaya, it's going to be Rukia, and she's going to use her ice, and he's going to something.
Busby's going to come back and be like, shit. Yeah. Again.
Double ice.
I
got to
do this again. It'll turn out that Rukia, you know, while she was up there, unlocked her Bankai.
Yeah, I bet they both did.
I would buy a Hitsugaya figure.
You do know that Renji kind of already has his, right?
Yeah.
His Ultra Bankai.
Oh, really? That was his Bankai? Huh. Jeez. Yeah.
I would buy a Hitsugaya figure that just him looking confused after doing the mist technique.
It's like, oh shit, I thought that was a great plan.
I didn't think much of that through. I really thought that myth would last longer.
I still love that it's the Simpsons thing of Mr. Burns throwing down the smoke screen and then still being there when the smoke clears.
Like, none of us have ever, like...
Yeah, and he didn't even move when he was inside the mist, either.
Exactly, he just stood there.
I feel like the three of us have read a decent enough manga that we'd be able to piece together what the plan there was, but...
Like, I think we pieced it together when we were like, oh, it's obviously like an ice clone, and he's behind him already. Nope.
Okay. It turns out it was just him.
Toshiro, no. Well, yeah, these guys don't have their bankais anymore, so they're panicking.
Yep. Alright. Done with Bleach.
On to the centennial chapter of Nisekoi.
Which is not totally awful.
Yeah. No, it's a good chapter for Nisekoi. I kind of wish that it had done more with it, because, you know, it's the 100th chapter, but...
Oh. And, like, the first thing in the chapter is, like, a sudden climax. It's like, oh, something's gonna happen.
It's very cheesecake in the first, like, 10 pages.
Yeah. It's... blanking on her name.
Chitoge.
Okay, I kept wanting to say Chihiro, but I knew that wasn't right.
Do we need to open a Nisekoi character wiki?
Oh, I'm sure there is one, and I'm sure it's extensive. Chitoge is reading romance manga, and kind of lamenting that she... Like, thinking that she might want to confess to Raku, finally.
Yeah, the whole confession thing is kind of weird.
It's a weirdly big deal. In Japan.
It's a totally Japanese thing that I don't think translates well over here.
Yeah, over here we're just like, yeah, you want to go, like, you know, get some food, see how it goes. They're like, I love you, bow.
Yeah. Let's spend our lives together.
Yeah. This is a commitment we're making in middle school.
So, basically, she just tsunderes about the confession for 10, 15 pages.
There was the cute panel of her spinning in a chair.
Yeah. And talking to the gorilla doll.
Where did that come from, anyway? I can't remember. Didn't Raku give it to her or something?
I think so. Because it looked like her.
Yeah, I just love that there's, like, a custom-made, like, get your girlfriend a doll that's a gorilla with her face on it.
Yeah. So, at one point, she asked her father how he and her mom met. And he's describing that back when he came to Japan one time, that his group was in a firefight and they're completely pinned down.
And then a pizza delivery lady showed up.
Who was Chitoge's mother, who was working 17 jobs in school.
Because that is very much in character for her.
She is such a badass.
He fell in love with her right then and decided he had to marry her.
Proposed to her on the spot in the middle of a firefight.
And she kicked his ass.
I have to say, I did like the thing in the firefight where he's just, you know, reclining in a chair while all of his guys are fighting.
Yeah, and just talking about how they're pinned down and are probably going to die. So he knew that he had to tell her at some point, or that was his main life mission.
And so he kept approaching her over and over, and she was, you know, breaking his bones, but because of that, but regardless, he couldn't, you know, not be with her. Because the moral of the story is, no matter how much they physically abuse you, if you're really interested in a person, you should keep on coming back.
Yeah,
don't take no for an answer, kids.
You can change them. You know, they won't hit you forever. It's just, you know, phase they're going through.
It's okay. She's gone all the time.
Yeah. He's a latchkey husband at this point.
So, and then Chitoge, of course, takes that and goes, would I do that? If Raku was repeatedly breaking bones in my body, would I continue going after him?
And then Raku gives her a huge bruise.
Because that's the barometer for high school romance, is if he beat me, would I stay with him?
And he didn't give her a bruise. She wasn't paying attention, and she walked into a sign.
But she wasn't paying attention because she was thinking about Raku. So technically, Raku gave her the bruise.
The sign was an extension of Raku, I agree.
Yes. So, she's freaking out about whether she should just finally confess. Then Raku talks about how weird it is that they've been dating for a year, or fake dating, and they act like it's totally normal.
And he's
we've been through a lot. Like, you punching me, and punching me, and punching me.
So eventually she realizes that, oh well, it doesn't really matter if she confesses now. When she really needs to confess, she'll confess.
Yeah, when the time is right.
And then nothing of consequence happened.
It was a cute chapter.
Yeah, it was cute.
And then
that's
also
basically it.
She treats Raku to ramen.
Yes.
Whereas he's usually the one that's treating her.
Yeah, so, you know, he's concerned that she's going to, you know, poison it or something like that.
So basically, for the 100th chapter, they decided to do the edgy thing and have the status quo keep going forever.
It could have been worse. Could have been Haru.
Could have been...
Yeah. How long do romance mangas normally run for?
I don't know.
I feel like Ichigo 100% is probably the longest one.
I'm checking Love Hina, because that's my barometer. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Maizena Koga is probably the longest one, but Ichigo's 100% the longest in Jump that I remember. And that one ran for 3 years. That's not that long.
Yeah.
It's really not.
It's only 19 volumes.
Yeah, Love Hina was 123 chapters.
Yeah, so, like, this is already dragging on quite a long time.
It took it didn't really take a long... This has been only a year, right? No,
it's,
not a year.
It's 100. It's 2 years.
2 years. So they only got their anime this year, and it hasn't started airing yet. It's going to run at least 2 years after that.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's not... I mean, if you don't love...
Kill, anything that got an anime is not going to get killed that fast.
Man, Eyes only ran for 2 years, too. I thought that one went on forever. You know, I quote S...
No.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, it's a big Jump romance manga from the 90s. Really? Mm. 15 volumes?
There's this might not be fair, but let's look up how long Maizane Koku ran. Because that, I mean, that's a Rumiko Takahashi thing, which means it ran forever. 7 years.
Yeah, it's Rumiko Takahashi, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys are familiar with Eyes. You've probably seen it and just don't.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
They were in the fighting game, I think.
I don't know. Maybe this is going to be one of those things where they maintain status quo just long enough until people get bored of it, and then it just has to end.
And then it just gets wrapped up in, like, 2 chapters?
Yeah. It's just going to be like, well, that's what they basically set up here, is like, oh, I'll just randomly propose someday.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what's going to happen. Just
when the time is right or ratings get low.
Yeah, that's when the time's right.
And now,
we're having a baby.
You're mentioning the fighting game thing is me imagining Raku in that fighting game that we talked about Oga being added in recently.
Oh, Jump, whatever, Jace.
I want to say, like, Sugumi's are... Chitoge's in that or something?
You know what would be great?
I suppose she makes more sense, but yeah.
Raku was the character, and all his attacks were him dodging, like, Chitoge and Sugumi doing attacks.
Or, and like, hitting people.
Yeah, like, Chitoge punches him, and then while punching him, punches into the other person, too.
That would actually be kind of funny.
Yeah, I can't find exactly where it is, but I feel like I remember seeing a picture of Chitoge in relation to this game somehow.
But yeah, charming.
Yeah.
It was a good Nisekoi chapter. It just was, you know...
I feel like it's enough to ask Nisekoi to not be bad now.
Yeah.
The important thing is all we have left to talk about this week is One Piece, and everything was at least okay.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Didn't you say everything was, like, rated really high this week for some reason?
Yeah.
Everything was in the top half, I think.
No, even like, above the top half. Like, everything we're talking about is, like, the top third. Like, let's see. It's Toriko, Shokugeki no Soma, One Piece, Ass Class, Kuroko no Basket, Nisekoi, Bleach, Beelzebub, and World Trigger. So there's only, like, three manga in there that we're talking about.
And Toriko and Bleach were color pages. So that's probably why Bleach was top half. But, you know, we're talking ranking number 2, ranking number 5, ranking number 6, and ranking number 7. So.
Yeah, half, I guess, is a good place to.
Yeah.
Also, a couple. Oh wait. Kimi Doll ended this week? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no. That was super short. And wow. Kuroku also ended this week.
Boy,
which was Himedal?
That was the one of the after school idol. The
fake idol where, you know, she was the head of the gang and wanted to be an idol after school.
Didn't that last like 10 weeks?
Yeah, no. Both the two ones that both ended were the last ones that started, if I'm not mistaken.
Did you even get rated yet?
I remember that one shot. Like, that's been within Jumpcast lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. No. It was not that long ago. This is... Wow. Those got taken out fast.
Huh.
Yeah, I guess the one revival from that looked like it was going to die fast but hasn't been and has been catching on is Soul Catchers, that banned one where it's like the director.
Sure.
Doing music. I talked about the first chapter when it came out a little bit. And so I might check that out again because it's been moving up in the rankings. But
yeah, well, I wonder if I was off this week or something.
But yeah. New series next week called Iron Knight.
Yeah, it'll die. Who cares?
Probably.
Man, they took out... I'm just in shock at how fast they took out those two.
It's a donkey
kong world. How many chapters they had.
I'm not... Jeez. Anyway, One Piece.
There's so anyway, else. Apparently Caribou got away?
No, he's
being taken away.
By Drake.
He just has the pie.
Oh. Okay.
Whatever. Fuck you, Caribou. Get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully this will end. If this goes on, like, Caribou and Drake.
I want that...
That's just good riddance to bad rubbish.
I want that, like, boat to just, like, lift up off-panel and have it say Caribou died on the way back to this planet.
So, Bellamy has malicious intent for Luffy. He is planning to kill him and then become an executive staff member. And then Dellinger comes by and says that, hey, have you not killed him yet? Oh, okay, then I guess I should kill you. That was what Doflamingo said to do.
And Dellinger is rocking those heels.
I know, that dude's got some good legs.
Yeah.
He's got dancer's legs.
Oda drew his legs better than Tamura drew Hilda's.
So, not to interrupt this, but the last Raw I can find from Himedol is chapter 13. So
yeah, it went through, you know, it started, it went through one thing of rankings and then died.
This seems to not actually be the last chapter, because it still ends in a to be continued, but it's got to be around there somewhere. So, less than 20, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Barrage is the fastest thing I've ever seen killed.
Oh, these are way faster than that.
Takamagahara was the fastest.
Oh, God, no.
Okay, Himedol started... Fuck in issue manga. 36, and it ended in issue 52.
So, okay, that's decent.
So under 20.
That's less than 20.
Yeah,
that's more than I expected.
That's 16.
Yeah. That means, like, as soon as it started getting ranked, it was like, oh god, kill it fast.
Yeah,
kill
and
it now.
Kurokuroku was 17. It started 1 week earlier. So
yeah, those were both.
Yeah, this
like,
is also the first time I've ever seen two things end in a week.
Yeah, that's
they must have been mercy flushed.
Yeah.
They got taken out.
So, back to One Piece.
So, Dellinger's legs. Like, what's going on there? Is it a devil fruit power?
The leg fruit.
Yeah.
Well, do we know if Dellinger is a guy or a girl at this point?
I don't know. We've been assuming guy. I don't know that that's really the case.
I mean, guy or girl, there's some weird legs for the rest of that body.
Yeah. I suppose that way back in the day, men did wear high heels, so...
Bellamy seems kind of surprised that Doflamingo wants him killed.
Who, Luffy or him?
Him.
Just reading this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Dellinger lets loose that he's supposed to kill Bellamy.
Well, for someone that's already... that Doflamingo has already attempted to kill once, he's oddly surprised.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you done with the assassination yet? You were gonna mess it up anyway, so... I should just kill you.
Meanwhile, Law and Doflamingo are still fighting it on the bridge.
And moving across the bridge as they're fighting.
Yeah,
and
dude.
Law is not looking well.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be fine. There's no way anything bad will happen to Law. Let me open up my Tumblr.
Yeah, so this is a, you know, great little fight.
Yeah. I think it's the best fight One Piece has had since coming back. Like, actual one-on-one fight.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, like, it is kind of one-sided, but...
It is, but, I mean, it's still... The choreography is neat. And
yeah,
it's a low bar.
Yeah, Doflamingo has, you know, driven Law all the way back, and they're in Dressrosa now. And then, Diamante calls Doflamingo and, you know, lets him know, oh, Violet's betrayed us. And Doflamingo, you know, comments that, oh, I was expecting that since Sanji showed up, you know.
Yeah.
But
she reported
matter.
In that they had Sanji.
Yeah. And then the interesting thing here is he says send Lao Ji to the factory entrance, which he's one of the people who's supposed to be fighting in the tournament. So this is kind of messing up the entire tournament structure now.
And they figure that, like, it'll be fine, that they really don't need Lao Ji at the tournament.
Yeah, Diamante himself is enough.
Yeah. So it's, I guess they're trying to shorten the tournament a little bit.
Yeah, I have a feeling this is like, the plans are off, like, they're probably just gonna...
Oh yeah, no, I'm fully expecting that the people who were, the four guys of the family that were going to be in the tournament are going to be fighting members of the Straw Hats, and then, well, Straw Hats and company, I suppose, because I don't know if we should consider the samurais to be part of them or not, and then it's going to be like a battle royale of the top four. Versus, and then the winner of that faces Diamante, or something like that.
That would make a lot more sense.
I wouldn't be surprised if stuff just started going down and Diamante just, like, jumps in while Rebecca's still fighting, and everyone has to, you know, just, like, the tournament's off, we just gotta beat Diamante.
Yeah.
That's also entirely possible.
So Delphamingo asked him, like, why he would sacrifice his life for this plan, for letting Delphamingo get cutted down by Kaido. And why he put so much trust in the Straw Hats.
And Law responds that he likes the D.
Yeah, he wants the D.
He believes in the will of D.
Oh, you ruined the jokes.
I did.
But yeah, so he's expecting that the will of D will bring about some...
change or storm or something.
So
basically, his real plan was, I'm going to get Luffy where I want stuff screwed up, and he will.
Yeah. So Luffy and Zoro are arguing very loudly
with each other's names.
Yeah, with their real names about how Zoro really wanted in the tournament.
I love the Marine just sitting there like, Zoro? What?
Yeah. I also like how Zoro is complaining that he didn't invite Luffy didn't invite him into the tournament.
Yeah. So the Marine goes back to talk to Vice Admiral Bastille, who's sitting not far away, and saying, hey, there's probably Straw Hats here.
Straw Hat's right over there. You can see him from where you're sitting. He's just right there.
And, you know, they're sitting here. It's like, all right, you know, we're here to collect all these different bounties. You know, we don't want to have any of these people slip through our fingers in the chaos. So let's go look through the list of the ones who are eliminated. And Don Chinjiao and, wow, I've never heard of most of these guys. Who are we supposed to be arresting?
They don't remember anyone that they have the pictures of.
So the toy power is at work.
Yeah.
If it's,
I thought that was a neat and creepy little moment.
Yeah, like, not quite as creepy as, like, Riku and Don Chinjiao sitting there lamenting that they are alone and have been for a long time. You know, just moments ago there was people in there, but it's very unnerving power.
So, Kinemon remembers that he was supposed to call Sanji when they got there. And so he pulls up Denden Mushi and they all talk and they all touch base about where they are.
Yeah, they basically get in a conference call.
Yeah, and it's like what happened back in Punk Hazard, where they just sit down and compare notes, which is kind of, you know, nice.
It's a smart thing One Piece does.
Yeah.
Everyone in there is not an idiot.
So, you know, they explain the entire thing about the dwarf army and...
Riku and...
Yeah, and how Toy Soldier calls into everything, and Rebecca, and... Yeah.
They basically figure out that the whole thing is a giant trap for Luffy. So if Luffy decides to engage in all of this, then it's going to be bad for him. And they said if he wants to do it, then they'll do it. But if not, then it would be the smart move. So of course, and Franky says that he will follow any order Luffy gives him, but he really wants to help.
Yeah, he doesn't want to watch all the dwarfs throw their lives away.
There's a funny panel where Sanji says that it's decided they're heading back to the island, and everyone's crying except Caesar, who is really psyched about heading back.
I missed Caesar's face on that.
And so Luffy gives them the order that they're free to go wild.
Yeah, it's on.
Which is a nice page.
Yeah. And I would like to point out, Sanji is involved with a phone. Always the awesome parts of the...
Yes.
Yes. It cuts back to the Admiral, Fujitora.
Yeah.
Who sees that there's a huge skirmish on the Law Doflamingo battle in the middle of town.
Yeah, they're just, like, kind of wrecking through town in their battle.
And at some point, Bastille gets involved?
Well, he's near where it's happening. Oh. They end up right outside the Colosseum.
So, and this Law is basically laid out on the ground, bloody and broken.
Doflamingo pulls out a gun and shoots Law.
Yes.
Several times.
Yes, repeatedly in the chest.
Yeah.
And he thinks to himself, Korra-san.
Yeah.
He's going to miss Korra this week.
Yeah. Ah. Have you watched the ending of that yet, Emron?
Not yet. I was waiting for it to come out today.
It gets so weird. Well, it came out last week.
Yeah, but I'm waiting for it to actually air today.
Oh.
But.
Okay. Anyway.
So, the .tumblr.com question is Law dead?
Well, I just checked because I was going to register it before this got put up, but someone already has lawisdead.tumblr.com. If only I could have, like, lawisdead?.tumblr.com.
But is Law dead?
Let me try is Law dead. No, nobody has that. I should grab it.
Yes. Because we don't know yet, really.
I mean,
on one hand, Ace died. On the other hand, One Piece.
So I just have to say, I have no idea if this is intentional or not, but I love the pun from the name that Law says, where it's Corazon, but Corazon is heart in Spanish. He's the heart pirates. I'm assuming that that's not intentional, but if it is, it's a fantastic pun.
It's Oda. He's had foreign language puns before.
Yeah.
So, Luffy sees Law get capped.
Yeah. And screams for him.
Yeah.
And Doflamingo is licking his blood off his face.
I'm amused at the fact that Doflamingo just pulls out a gun to finish him off. Like, all of his power, and he still just pulls out a piece.
Well, you know, he doesn't... He is so far beneath him that he's not going to sully his powers by using them to,
Hey, so guys... One Piece just ramped up, and it looks like things are really going to get going. I can't wait for next week.
Yeah. So it's 2 weeks off, right?
It's 1 week.
Okay.
Next issue is number one, I believe, and it'll be back in number two.
Yep.
But yeah, like, I should have known reading this chapter.
Yeah.
You just know as it starts building up that it's like, oh man, there's going to be a hiatus notice at the end, isn't there?
Like, Luffy was just short of saying, like, okay, guys... Now it's time for things to start happening. See ya, bye. Don't wait up.
So yeah, now the question is, does Luffy immediately bust out to attack Doflamingo, or does he stay in there for the tournament?
I bet
he's going to try and bust out, but Dellinger's going to stop him.
Yeah, Bellamy and Dellinger. It's about time he starts taking on the lackeys, now that someone's been capped out front.
Yeah. Like, at least they finally gave Luffy motivation to take out Doflamingo.
I mean, Zoro and Kinemon are right there. I'd like to see them take on Doflamingo.
I feel like Zoro could beat Doflamingo.
Yeah, the strings versus swords.
I don't know. I think it would be interesting because we've seen Doflamingo take out Sanji, and then if we see him take out Zoro before Luffy fights him too, then that would be a neat power establishment sort of thing, I guess. I don't know.
But I think Zoro's stronger than Luffy.
I have a feeling the kind of thing that's going to happen is Zoro's going to try to pick a fight, and Doflamingo's going to bail, and someone else is going to show up. Like another lackey for Zoro to fight.
I could see Zoro fight. Diamante uses a sword, doesn't he?
I'm not sure. He's a big dude. I don't remember if he carries a sword.
I feel like I remember seeing like a big broadsword with him before.
Maybe.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, great chapter.
I kind of wonder, like, I don't think things are going to go as smoothly as we think they are for the rest of the arc.
Oh, you were expecting things to go smoothly?
I assume they'd at least, like, get to some degree of, not an end of the tournament, but some kind of finality to it. Like, it would get to a conclusion area.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
But now it's like, this is the shit going down moment, and to slow down and have Luffy go back to the tournament would be weird. Not that they won't do it, it would just be weird. Yeah. Also, I'm still not 100% sure Law's dead.
Is Law dead?
.tumblr.com.
Updated 6 minutes ago.
I feel like they have too much confidence in that.
What?
That Law is dead.
Oh, it's actually not related to Law being dead, it's just someone's... I mean, if you think about it, Law is dead is not...
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Not necessarily.
Words out of their manga context.
And Ace is dead was updated 5 hours ago.
Does he have anything about Law being dead?
I should check.
Turns out Law was actually Ace. Weird how that worked out, especially as we're moving forward.
There are posts about...
Yeah. Someone replied to your post, I'm sure you're just as happy about the newest chapter as I was. Hey, if Law dies, maybe he'll become a sort of interesting and sympathetic character just like Ace after he died. And his response was, I don't want Law to die. Not just yet. He needs to cook in the hearts of the fangirls just a bit more before he is good to... He is good to send out of the kitchen.
This is the best Tumblr. This is the best Tumblr.
I like how Fujitora realized what happened by just hearing it.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's One Piece. Yeah. It's off next week, but Naruto will be back.
That's Shonen Jump.
Yep. So that's good. For when I first saw that thing and it was saying, like, oh, hey, you know, the second issue of next year, I was thinking, oh, we're going to have 3 weeks without Naruto or One Piece.
But no, it turns out we're just bad at calendars.
Well, Shonen Jump is bad at numbers. Like, it's not our fault. Stupid Japan and their weird...
I feel like this is the Shonen Jump thing. It's not a Japan thing.
Well, I think it's like this is when issue one came out, you know, way back when, and they've just been numbering since then.
I wonder if Shonen Jump's ever missed a week.
Well, I mean, it does. When, it, like, Golden Week and, what's the other? Yeah.
But, I meant, like, not scheduled things that, like, hey.
Oh. I'm actually wondering how the numbering works, because this was issue 52, and they
double
missed
issues.
Two issues. Of, oh, that's right. Okay.
That's why they're called double issues, is their two numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know what you're wondering, Imran. It's like, was there ever a week that's like, yeah, the printing press just shit itself. Like.
Or, like, the Japanese earthquake, or.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. One Piece was good. Well, everything was pretty good.
Yeah, this was a good week.
Overall, decent.
And yeah, next week we get Naruto, and we get to see what Madara's up to.
But none of that will matter in the manga rankings.
Nope. This is where One Piece...
The line has been drawn.
So what about Assassination Classroom? Are we still counting the next couple chapters until it's current to 52?
I will give it an extra 2 weeks, because it's way behind.
I think we should just go with whatever the chapter gets up to, so if it gets to that, then so be it.
Alright. I say we're done.
Yeah, I'm tired. I'm tired of podcasting. I quit.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yep, we're done. Bye.
I'm just gonna go play Mario forever.
Alright, this has been your Friday, November 22nd Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
Okay,
I don't like
stuff.
How casual the X-Bone, like, UI is.
Hey, there's been a problem, man. Just, you know, come back later and we'll have it fixed. Error code 6196216.
Hey, guys. They elected me to talk to you about this, but we're having a few social issues. Then maybe Twitter's down. I don't know. It's a big thing. Why don't you just go take a break?
Oh, you want to play Battlefield? That's gonna be a problem right now. You probably come back later. And don't get mad, but your save's corrupted. Sorry.
We kind of did the best we could, but I mean, time makes fools of us all.